Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Thomas Frank Carr. T. Frank, my friend, how are we doing today?
Good. Doing good today. How are you?
I am not bad. We have a national champion, and I won a couple dollars betting on Georgia, so life is good.
There you go. I went to bed at 9-6, so when I woke up and I said it was 33-18, I just, whoa, that is not how I expected that to go in the second half.
Yeah, it was a very different second half than first half. Yes, I have Southeast Conference fatigue. I also, despite that 9-6 score at halftime, I still watched those teams and said Penn State was still a long way away from getting to that level. So,
oh, for sure.
Yes. As to use James Franklin's words, they are not elite yet. But anyway, segueing to Penn State, let's talk T. Frank today. I want to get your reaction to a lot of the personnel changes, comings and goings since the end of the season. There have been plenty of them. And get your thoughts on how these are going to affect the upcoming 2022 season. Let's start with a pretty big one, and that was Brent Pry is out. Longtime defensive coordinator. He took the head coaching job at Virginia Tech. Congratulations to him. Very nice job. He is out. My question to you is, what effect do you think that will have on the team? What was his legacy here at Penn State?
So what effect it will have on the team, the point of hiring Manny Diaz is that it doesn't, is that everything remains relatively the same. But kind of like when you have a different coordinator in the bowl game, there's just a different version of the relatively same principles. And I think that's what James Franklin went for. And that's what he got with Manny Diaz, from a lot of different perspectives, which we can get into later. Brent Pry's legacy, I think, is consistency. This defense was consistent, and they were, no matter what it was that they did, they kept the team in games. Penn State was very boom or bust when it comes to scoring points, even when they were at their best. You remember second half team with Joe Moorhead, and they would score 37 points in a quarter. You need a defense to keep you in the game the entire time to make that a reality. So everything that they preached of, even all the way down to the bend but don't break, it's don't give up big plays, don't do anything to harm the team, and then go make plays when you can. And that's something that Brent Pry talked about one time when he was describing what he wants from his players, is play within the structure, and then, after the play's been declared, if you go see something, go get it. Play with instinct. Play with trust your intuition. You've done the research. You know the scheme. Stay within the structure, but if you can, go make a play. And that last part is what they struggled to do consistently. But you saw when they got better secondary players as time went on, and you got no disrespect to the guys that came before, but Jaquan Brisker is a different beast than what they had at safety previously. Jair Brown, at least the way he looked this year, looked like he can be a difference maker at safety. And Joey Porter Jr. at corner, I know Penn State fans are going to be annoyed, but he's got the building blocks of being an elite shutdown corner. And he was in his second year starting last year. Going into his third year of starting, he has the chance to be that guy next year. So having all of those players in the secondary changes what you can do defensively, and I think you saw the best version of Brent Pry before he left to go to Virginia Tech. So, I don't want to get too meta about it, but it was a good story arc of a guy who came in as a, can he do this job? We didn't know right away when he took over for Bob Shoup. They're not going out and getting a name. They're getting some guy from internal to replace their defensive coordinator. Is this going to be just a yes man? No, he turned out to be a great defensive coordinator and a guy that left his mark in style and consistency on Penn State.
When I hear folks criticize Brent Pry, it's mostly those blown leads late in the game. And we've seen it over the years, double-figure leads against Ohio State in the fourth quarter multiple times, Michigan State, Indiana, mm-hmm. USC, even like Iowa this year. Is that a legitimate critique?
If the offense scores points, it doesn't matter. And offense should dictate your team, and offense should dictate what you do. So, yes, there is some criticism of, in certain situations, I thought Pry got a little bit predictable blitzing in certain situations. And you saw it with Ohio State in certain games. They'd blitz, and Ohio State would throw a screen right behind it. But the mark of somebody who's good at their job is they correct and they evolve. And I thought he did that. There were times where that wasn't necessarily the problem. It was, okay, we can blitz, and we can do that on third down if the linebackers know where to go and can beat the screen. Because at, you know, running a 4-5, you should be able to beat an offensive lineman. And there were times that the players didn't execute. You could see they were in position. They just didn't execute. So in some of the, I'm thinking very specifically just about that one wrinkle of, well, it's a third down, here comes a blitz, and then up, there it goes, there's a screen for 25 yards. They got better at those things because they cleaned that up. So I think the evolution was good as well, but yeah, there's always criticism. There's always things you could have back. There's always things you didn't do right. But I just think the overall picture of how he developed and how he grew as a coach is the reason he's a head coach right now.
And then you mentioned Manny Diaz coming in without a full evaluation of him. I do think it was a good hire getting a former head coach from a Power 5 conference to come in as defensive coordinator. That's probably, I would look at it as a home run hire. Anything in particular you think will be different with Manny Diaz? I know the style is similar, but do you think we'll see something different that will say, hey, that's because of Manny Diaz?
So there's two things that I'm going to pay attention to next year. It's going to be the slot, and then it's going to be the safety position. When it comes to the slot, Manny Diaz was playing much more three-corner sets, where he had a true nickel in more than Penn State did with their Sam linebacker. Right now, Penn State doesn't have a good answer at Sam linebacker. They've got Jamari Budden, who's 220 pounds and a freshman. We'll see what he does this offseason, but they don't have... They have Daquan Hardy, who's a 5'9", 180-pound slot corner. Elite coverage guy, potentially. But you can't play rundowns with that guy in the slot. So how do they compensate for that? And then another thing that Manny Diaz has done at Miami, and this might have just been that he had a lot of good safeties, including a five-star freshman, was he played a lot of three safeties. So you saw in the bowl game, Arkansas play three safeties. It's kind of a Big 12 defense where they're trying to stop the spread offense. They're trying to put an umbrella coverage out there to stop those deep vertical shots. Can it work in the Big Ten with a run-heavy conference? Is Manny Diaz going to try that? I don't know. I'm curious to find out if that's something coming over here that James Franklin says, you can't do that here, I don't want that, find a way to do it with three linebackers. That's going to be interesting. The other thing is maybe a little bit more aggression than what we saw last year with the defensive line, where Diaz has always been very aggressive with his defensive linemen and his defensive tackles. Does that continue, or do we see more of what Brent Pry was doing this past year with still being aggressive, but making sure pocket contain was the main thing, especially on passing downs, not letting athletic quarterbacks outside. Diaz likes to blitz. He likes to be exotic in that area. And I think more so than Pry, where it's a little bit more scheme and a little less of, I don't want to say standard, but there were some pretty common themes with Brent Pry in where he was bringing guys from on standard blitzes. He got exotic, but I don't think he ever really went to the level that Manny Diaz does with some just crazy stuff you see on film sometimes.
All right, a more recent departure. Dwight Gault, strength and conditioning coach, has retired. He's been given a lot of credit through the years. When you see the development of some of these players and you see them go to the combine with some of those numbers, you know, you see OA and Micah Parsons and on and on and on with the list. What are your thoughts on Dwight Gault's tenure here?
Well, you don't do something for 38 years and be bad at it. I mean, you know, sure, there are examples of that somewhere, but my eighth grade science teacher that was a teacher for 40 years and was showing us videos and didn't turn the lights on because it was 9 in the morning and I think he had a hangover. Those guys, sure. But Dwight Gould was at the highest level of performance and he was there for 38 years. So that speaks to itself. But really, you mentioned some of those guys that went to the combine and blew the doors off the combine. You don't get freaks by accident. So guys that are blessed with amazing athletic potential, it's only potential unless it's realized. And that takes the player and a certain work ethic and a certain, I think certain players and certain people that achieve greatness are a little bit broken inside because you have to be driven in a way that most people aren't. But you also have to have the tools necessary to go achieve that if you're capable of it. And Dwight Gault had that environment for a very long time. And that, you, like I said, you don't get freaks without the proper tools and things around them to make that happen. Saquon Barkley doesn't become an elite lifting phenom without proper coaching, even as good as he was in high school. And then the other thing, and my wife has talked to me about this, and she's taught me this, is she's also a strength coach and a personal trainer. She said that soft tissue injuries are a sign of bad personal training and a sign of bad strength coaching. Penn State had very, very, very few of those throughout the years. When players were injured, they broke their hand, they broke a bone, something happened during play that caused that to happen. You saw very few hamstrings and guys pulling up after a run, anything like that. They were ready to go physically, and they were able to compete at the highest level. And I think that speaks to what Dwight Gould and his staff did as well.
So when I pull a muscle getting out of my Barca lounger, I could blame my strength and conditioning coach.
Well, if you don't have one, then yes. If you're your strength coach, then yes, I married mine. So that's the answer.
Well, the only criticism that I've heard of Dwight Gault is we've seen so much the freaks, like you said, at the combine, the running backs, the wide receivers, the safeties, linebackers, defensive linemen.
I know where this is going.
Can you put any of the offensive line struggles on Dwight Gault? Is that fair?
Well, you gave me about a minute to get into a very nuanced conversation. No. He's asked to do something, and he's asked to train those guys in the way that they want. One thing he talked about this past offseason when we talked to him in the strength period was velocity-based training, being athletic and explosive into space, and that includes offensive linemen. But here's the thing. Name the freaks that Penn State has recruited on the offensive line for him to train. Name them for me, please. Maybe Rashid Walker is the one. Now, we see a couple now, but how many of those guys have been elite physical specimens that he could train to be explosive, violent, strong mountains of men? He's had what he's had to work with, and those players have to put in the work themselves. So I'm not trying to put any of the offensive linemen down, but it's the reality of that position at Penn State, and it's the continual conversation we're going to have this offseason.
Very good. Thanks, T. Frank, on that. Stick around. Quarter number two, we're going to continue this conversation of play with players coming and going. Stay tuned for that.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.